Gospel of Luke chapter 23 and verse number 33. Just one verse of scripture to get us started here this morning. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I realize that this is the only time in the King James Bible where that the word and the name Calvary is given to us. Other places it's called Golgotha. Other places it's called the place of the skull. And really, it's more than just a geographical location, but it's a spiritual location for you and I. Amen. And so for a few minutes this morning, as quickly as I possibly can, I want to preach to you on the place of deliverance. Amen. The place of deliverance. Hallelujah. When I look at Calvary and what it means, I've never been given or went on a trip to the Holy Land, and some of you have, and I understand. I've been told, Brother Edsel Young told me, that he said that they had told him that 1 week in the land of Israel or the Holy Land is equivalent to 2 years Bible college. It's what you can learn there, just hands-on and personal vision and views of those things. And those of you that have been to that part of the world know the significance of it. I've talked to people and heard of people that had communion maybe on the where the Mount Calvary was at. And I talked to people that prayed and preached and at the edge of the tomb where that Jesus was buried and resurrected. And I've heard of people being baptized like Jesus in the Jordan River. Others and that have gone and done great things. And I think it's very commendable of them. And it's very significant. And I can see the importance of it. But really the geography is not what is altogether so important about the place called Calvary. Amen. Several years ago, I got a hold of a lot of several boxes of books, and I'm always game for good books and looking and trading and packing up and storing. And my wife tells me no more. She don't know that when we leave here tomorrow, if they're open, I want to go by the Gardner's Webb College and see if their bargain basement is open, just to see if I can get in down there on a Saturday. I doubt they'll be open, but either way, but I got a hold of a lot of several books, and in that, you know how it is. You see four or five good ones, you'll buy the whole box and cull them later. And that's right, no problem. Somebody wants them. But in that lot of books, I found the National Geographic had done a hardback copies of the Holy Land and studies and archaeologist studies there. And so, just out of curiosity, I began to thumb through them. And it's really intriguing and enlightening what you can find from secular writers in that respect. And it said that as far as the face of the place where that Christ was crucified, the geographical location, it has changed. Wind and water has eroded the landscape, and time has taken its toll on that area. And probably compared to the time of Christ, to this day, today, that it would not even be recognizable to the eye, you know, as the same place. You wouldn't just ride by and say, oh, well, there's the place, you know, because it has changed so much. But when I look at it from a different perspective, when I look at it in the view of souls that have been saved, when I look at it from the view of hearts that have been changed, from lives that have been transformed, from homes that have been put back together, backsliders that have been restored, bodies that have been healed, minds that have been healed. Come on now. Men and women that have been delivered from the chains of darkness. I have to conclude that nothing has changed about Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. I must conclude, amen, that Calvary still covers it all. There's still deliverance through the blood. Are y'all hearing me this morning? There's still deliverance through the cross. There's still power in the blood.
and the old rugged cross still makes a difference. Hallelujah. Amen. At the cross, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Where was it? It was at Calvary. Woo! The place of the skull. But yet the place of deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Calvary. When we look at it, we see the place where that God was at His best and man was at his worst. Amen. It's a place where that justice called and mercy answered. It's a place where that the misery of mankind met the masterpiece of God. Hallelujah. The place where that the Son of God died, that the sons of men might live. Where He that knew no sin was made to be sin for you and I, and settle the sin question once and for all. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Calvary, the place where that just as I am became just as I was. Hallelujah. Calvary, where I found the remedy for the restless. Calvary, where I found the cure for the wandering heart. Calvary, where that the law had illuminated our sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ eliminated our sin. Woo! Calvary, the launching pad for our trip to heaven. Calvary, the birthplace of hope. Calvary, the foundation of our faith. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. I'll tell you, it's a place where that our song changed, didn't it? Amen. I mentioned Sister Vernell Bates. There's a whole family of those sisters and maybe 2 to 3 brothers. And several of them go to our home church there. And one of the sisters, her sister Von Seal, said, I remember back in the 30s and 40s, we would be out in the field sharecropping, you know, and those old colored sisters picking cotton on shares. She said, I'd hear them when they started. And they'd say, we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome one day. And about three rows of cotton over somebody else would pick up that harmony until you had a 15 to 20 voice choir across that southern cotton field of singing about being overcomers. Hallelujah. And you know, that song wasn't written until around 1900, 40 something years after the abolition of slavery. But there was another song that was a derivative. That song was derived from, and it was called No More Auction Block for Me. And it was written by the slaves back in slavery days. And they would sing about that. Oh, come on now. That was their song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Hallelujah. But whenever segregation was done away with, and whenever slavery was abolished, they changed that song. And it became free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Woo! Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Oh yes, I tell you, that's where my song changed. That's where my life story changed. Woo! My life story started once upon a hill. I said once upon a hill. A place called Calvary, where the Christ liberated my soul. Oh, come on, lift your hands and worship Him this morning. Woo!
Glory to God. When I was pastoring in Thomasville years ago, there used to be a guy named Alan Gay on the radio on Sunday morning. He'd done his best to be a Christian Rush Limbaugh. I mean, right down to the rattling of the papers, you know. And he'd play gospel music. And he'd play a local recording of a group of Baptist Bible class, Baptist men's choir. And they would sing that song, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary," you know. And y'all remember when we was growing up, kids, we sang, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And some kid in the background would say, "Where?" Y'all remember that? You know. And then there's always that verse that said, "If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack." And some kid in the background would say, "Ouch." Y'all remember that? We had fun with those songs, huh? Well, I could hear that Baptist men's choir singing, Brother Blue, and they'd say, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary." And some old crackly voice fell in the background and say, "Where, Calvary? Where, Calvary?" I know it sounds humorous, you know, and it was. And I think, what am I listening to here? But when I got over the crackled voices and the out-of-tune harmony and the tone-deaf singers, come on here now, I heard the message. And it's the message that goes and rings forth to every sin-sick child of every generation from the cross to now. And that is, burdens are still lifted. Woo! I said, burdens are still lifted at Calvary. Woo! Where? At Calvary. At Calvary. At Calvary. Woo! It's the pivot point in your life. It's the fork in the road at the foot of the cross. I don't know how much I heard Brother Mike say. He shared some of his testimony. I don't know how much he shared. But when I first met Brother Mike in the 80s, he came to Broxton camp meeting. That's when he preached that most notable message on the battle with bitterness. Have you ever preached that again anywhere? Maybe a time or two. And I don't know if that was the first time. Coming down there with Brother Bill Johnson. Y'all come over from Colquitt. Got the testimony of old Brother Edward Day. Did you meet Brother Edward when you preached for Joey? You know, Brother Edward passed away in a car wreck since then. And some of you remember Brother Edward Day, some of you others. And his son had been murdered. And Brother Mike coming down there and preached on bitterness. And got Brother Edward's testimony about fighting bitterness over his son's murder. And got Wayne's wife, the widow of that murdered man, on that CD. If you can get a hold of it, it's great. Amen. But Brother Blue told us then, he said, so many years ago, he said, "I was a long-haired," can I say it like you said it? "A long-haired, pot-smoking," did you say LSD-taking? Something, maybe not. I don't think I remember. Anyway, he said, "hitchhiking hippie." That's what he said. And I heard his testimony, how he was in Jamaica, West Indies, behind drugs to bring back to the United States to make money. And God got to talking to his heart. And he rode that bicycle up the mountain and heard those folks. He couldn't understand what they were saying, but there was something about it drawing him to the cross. Woo! All the way back across. Flew in. Did you fly into Miami? You help me here. It's been a long time since I heard it. Flew into Miami and hitchhiked his way up the coast here, up into West Virginia, wherever it was, and thought those folks would be home. Is that right? Hey, man, I've listened to a lot of his tapes over here and put all this story together, you know. And he thought they was home and they wasn't, but right there, he came to the cross. And God saved Brother Mike Blue. Hallelujah. And I remember Brother Webb coming. And I was going to ask Brother Randy, you didn't get saved at church, did you? Got saved in that bedroom, wasn't it? He said, I'd laid there, that long-haired young man. He said, I'd laid there
And listening to that LP album spin out, the Eagles singing, "You Can't Hide Your Lion Eyes." And he said, "I'd listen to it until the music had ran out and needle was still running on a blank track around and around." And he said, "I got out of that bed and said, I'm sick of this." Amen. And God brought him to that place of deliverance because of Calvary. Woo! I said, thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. Woo! Great Lamb of God. I said, thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. Oh, great God. Oh. Woo! Oh. I got to looking back in the Word of God at the mountains there. Oh, yeah. Just a few that we can talk about. There's the first one I mentioned to you this morning, Mount Moriah, Genesis 22. It always needs to be lifted up because there Abraham was tested. He was tried. He took his only son there. And it was also on Mount Moriah where that the Lord provided the ram in the thicket, which was a future type of what He would do on another mountain outside of Jerusalem years later. I think I'm correct in saying that in studying, I found that perhaps the Temple Mount now is what was Mount Moriah in those days, where that Solomon built his temple. And then there was Mount Sinai. We first encounter Moses on Mount Sinai with the burning bush. And then there was where God gave him the law. It was where that he went and fasted for 40 days. Not once, but twice at least. It was on that same mountain that God said, "There is a place by me. And Moses, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put my hand over you and pass by and let you see my back parts." Really, that's receding glory is what that means. I'm going to let you see my glory. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. That same mountain years later, we found that it was called by another name, by the name of Mount Horeb. That is where Elijah was in the cave. Could it have been the same cave Moses was in? I don't know. Could have been. But it's where Elijah was in the cave. And he was so despondent and down. And that's a complete different message there. But God not only, amen, spoke to him, but sent him forth to go and preach and go and prophesy and anoint. Amen. There was still something to do. It was a place, a turning point. And then there's been some dispute among those that have studied about what really was the Mount of Transfiguration, whether it was Mount Tabor, amen, or Mount Hermon. I don't know. I'm just going to call it the Mount of Transfiguration. But it was there that they saw Him. Peter, James, and John saw the Lord transfigured before them. Come on now, church, just stay with me a little while. Oh, yes. And perhaps they all stood geographically a lot higher than Mount Calvary. Woo! But when I look at what was accomplished, I have to back off and say, there is none like unto thee, O Mount Calvary. There is none like unto thee, O Mount Calvary. Woo! If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian got so overwhelmed with that stinking, smelly load of sin, and he cried out, "What I do?" A guy by the name of Evangelist said, "See that cross? Go stand under it." And as he stood, he heard those chains and those strings begin to snap. Suddenly there was a thump.
and the sound of a rolling. And that burden rolled down that hill. Whew, into that tomb. And it was sealed up forever. Woo! And Christian, let me just read you what it said. Christian said, thus far did I come laden with my sin. Nothing could ease the grief that I was in till I came here. What a place is this? Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the chains that held it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulcher, but blessed rather be the man that was here put to shame for me. Hallelujah. Oh, what a place is this. I'll tell you what it is. It's the place of my deliverance. It's the place of the shackles being broken. It's the place of the chains being crushed by the power of redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got to hurry here. Amen. Sometimes I've been guilty of, without taking it out of context, reading into the Scripture some things. Because I love using good imagination. That's what God give it to you for. You ought to use it. Amen. But I've heard these people say, you know, Jesus was dying and hell had a ball. And that makes for good preaching, you know, if you want to preach it that way. I'm sure I've preached it. Other pastors and evangelists have preached it. But for the sake of this message this morning, I believe that, I really can't say according to Scriptures, that Satan knew what he was doing altogether. He knew that Christ was an opposing force. He knew that he was the Son of God. But I know that the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that there was a hidden mystery of God. Now listen to me. And it said, none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known, Brother Derek, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, the devil, just based on that scripture, I see that the devil didn't realize that with the pounding of the hammer to drive the nails home into the flesh of our Savior, he was driving nails in his own coffin. Huh? Woo! And y'all pardon me for being graphic here with this pulpit, but I just in my imagination I can see, you know, them having a little dance and a jigging around there. The demons of hell are saying, he's gone. But they were dancing just cause that the opposing force was gone. But all of, and you know, we like to hear it, and I heard a preacher say years ago that the only thing that could be heard for a little while in heaven was the sound of the dripping of the blood. Just the sound of the drops of the blood. You know, those are all legends. Those are all things that we have to imagine. But this is what I like to imagine. If you'd have been standing by the cross, you might have heard just a drip of blood. But somewhere down in the regions of hell, while the party was going on, all of a sudden there was a... What was that? What was that? What was that? You just like to imagine with me this morning. That's what it sounded like to the devil's ears as the blood streamed down. It wasn't a sigh. Ooh, but it was coming down, flowing freely for the sins of men. Are y'all with me this morning? Woo! And it was only just a matter of hours before that Jesus, having been taken off that cross in the physical body, walked in, rattled the gates of hell. Amen. Took captivity captive. Hallelujah. Preached to the spirits in prison. And he said, hey, give me those keys. Give me those keys. Give me those keys. And there was no power to resist. I want to tell you, because of what he's done, sin has no power to resist. Woo! Thanks to Calvary, sin has
seated. Oh, lift your hands again and worship God. Woo! I never have liked the picture of Jesus and the devil arm wrestling. Y'all ever seen that picture? That's the most inaccurate thing you've about ever come across. I don't like it. Because that puts them as being co-equals, and they're not. As we say down south, they ain't. Satan's already a defeated foe. And I never was a gambler. I couldn't tell you what those cards are in a deck of cards. Daddy wouldn't let us have them. He says it's too close to gambling. Just have them around. He wouldn't let us have them around. Amen. Oh, come on now. I might could tell you what a king and a queen are. I might could tell you what an ace is. I don't know. I have no reason to know. But I do know what it means to up the ante. That means to sweeten the pot. I learned that from Brother Randy Webb. You know, just the old gambling term. He brought it in a message one night. He's preaching at the church there. But I've heard that at some point in the game of cards, if you played and you know different, you help me out with this later on, all right? Don't tell me right now, but help me out later on. That you have to show your hand. And when you show your hand, whichever one's better, you know, whatever, that's the winning hand. And I don't believe that the devil and the Lord were playing cards. But I do like to say it like this, that Calvary was the place where that God showed His hand. Now listen to me. Not as if to say, that's all I've got, but as if to say, there's more where that came from. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Not as if to say, I'm all in, this is it, but as if to say, there's more where that came from. And He didn't just say it. 3 days later, He proved it. Woo! The devil tried to kill one man, and 12 more rose up in the place. He tried to destroy them, and 120 prayed through. He tried to destroy them, and 3,000 more got saved. And it all started outside Jerusalem on a little foothill. Woo! Oh, Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. Woo! Thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. You'd never have Pentecost without Calvary. It was at Calvary. Woo! That He pointed us there. Woo! Thanks to Calvary. It was at Calvary where He said, you can go free. Then He pointed us down through John 17:17. He said, sanctify them through the truth. Woo! Thy word is truth. Right down the avenues of God's plan. Right on the Pentecost. I'll tell you what. Your trip to Calvary, you won't ever forget it. We sing that song, I Never Shall Forget the Day. Will you? Never. Brother Prescott, please forgive me for preaching too long my first trip up here. Glory to God. 1935,
I'll tell you this. I'll give you this and I'll close. There was a federal writing project that was instituted by the federal government. And in 1935, they sent out reporters all over the United States. And they gathered information from former slaves or children of slaves that had first-hand memory and knowledge of the days of slavery and the abolition. And there was a reporter that went to find a lady in by the name of Mary Barber. Some of you read it and some of you heard it. There was a writer by the name of Max Lucado who told about it. And I read it probably 20 years ago. And praying about this message, it came to memory. So I looked it up again online and done some research on this project. And she went to 801 South Bloodworth Street in Raleigh, North Carolina, and found this 80-something-year-old lady, Mary Barber, sitting on her front porch. This old colored lady, sweet as she could be. And they interviewed her. And she rambles on for several paragraphs, several pages. But this is what I put down that really stuck out to me. Can I take just a moment here? Anybody ever tried to read Uncle Remus in the original language? It's like Brother Bike, I know you've read Harold Bell Wright, When a Man's a Man. The way those guys talked is like trying to read that, you know. Well, that's the way they printed up this lady's interview. This is what she said. Mary Barber, 81 years old, 8 or 81, 1935. Let me just read it to you like she said, okay? "One of the first things I remembers was my pappy waking me up in the middle of the night, dressing me in the dark all the time." This is how she wrote it. "Telling me to keep quiet. One of the twins hollered some, and Pappy put his hand over its mouth to keep it quiet. And we was dressed, after we was dressed, he went outside and peeped round for a minute. Then he came back and got us. We snuck out of the house and along the woods path. Pappy toting one of the twins and holding me by the hand, and Mammy carrying the other two." It's just how she said it. And this is what stuck out to me, and I got it in red in my notes here. "I reckons that I will always remember that walk, with the bushes slapping my legs, the wind sighing in the trees, the whippoorwills hollering at each other from them big trees. I was half asleep and scared stiff, but in a little while we passed the plum thicket, and dar am the mules and wagon." And what she's talking about is the night that they got word that slavery had been abolished, and they said, "You can go free." Out of that whole dialogue, that one sentence stands out more than anything else. "I reckons I will always remember that walk." Just a broad-shouldered, narrow-hipped, 14-year-old boy. All that's changed now. Broad-hipped, narrow-shouldered in my case. 1986. This month, the month of May, I sat on the back row of the church down there where Brother Morgan used to pastor. And Brother Don Rich was preaching there. We got several folks that saved under his ministry. He came back to me. I knew him. He was friends with my dad. And he knew I wasn't saved. And he said, "Why don't you come and give your heart to the Lord tonight?" And you know what I said? I said, "Yeah, I'll go." I said that to him. "Brother Blue, I reckon I will never forget that walk. Going down. But what I will always remember more than that is walking away from that altar knowing that my sins were gone. Woo! Thanks to Calvary. Oh, we can sing it, and I'm closing with this. We can sing about it. We can talk about it. But there's nothing that'll take the place of the experience. Stand with us this morning. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? I'm so glad I wasn't there physically, but I've been to that cross. I've been to Calvary. Aren't you glad for what the cross means for us today? Let me just take a moment here before I sit down and say that if you're here and you're lost, you're in the right place. If you are here without God, you're in the right place in this service. Come to this cross. Come to this blood. Come to this Savior. If you're here, child of God, and you're burdened, let me tell you once again, burdens are lifted where? Where? Oh, glory to God. Oh, could you lift your hands one more time? Let's worship the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, God. Glory, 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 glory.